Okay, praise the Lord. Turn with me again in your Bibles this morning to Matthew's Gospel. The 16th chapter, we'll begin reading in verse 13. This, as it has been for the past 27 parts of this series, is our foundational text. We will once again revisit this, as it is our foundational text. I'll tell you what, let me have someone come stand beside me and someone else read this morning. I just have a... Thank you, Brittany. Okay, read from verse 13 through 18.
Okay. When Jesus came into the coast of...
Caesarea... Philippi.
He asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I said also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it."
Thank you very much. Sometimes when we have visited a passage of Scripture for as long as we have this one, sometimes you can cut off and be somewhere else because we've done it so many times. And I just felt right there in that moment that it would be good to hear it in a different voice. So thank you. We're continuing our series. I do think that we will finish with part number 30. This is part number 28 on the church that Jesus is building. And we have for many, many, many weeks now been on the part of it that we've talked about being understanding the three major aspects of the church, which are mission, message, and method. And we have been on the method part for the last several of this, and we will conclude the series talking about the method. The church built God's way, and according to His plan is His method. He has no other method of accomplishing His mission, which is taking the message to the ends of the earth. It's not going to be up to any parachurch organization. It's not going to be up to any evangelistic association, any TV station. Regardless of what anybody tells you, it is His church that He has determined will take and accomplish His mission. The gospel of the kingdom is to be taken to the ends of the earth, then the end will come. We must pursue His mission, preaching and living out His message according to His method, until the job is done. The church that Jesus is building is under construction, and team effort is required at all levels. Part 27 was the last time that I brought the part of the series. It's part 27. We're in part 28 now. But just to recap slightly, briefly from part 27, we talked about wrapping up local church leadership. Actually, we're continuing to wrap up a little bit. But the subtitle of this, part 28, is Local Church Leadership, What Doesn't Belong? So we're going to do the same thing that we've done. We're just going to attack it from a different direction. Instead of talking about so much what does belong, we're going to focus on what doesn't belong. And then next time, part 29, will be the congregation, the body of Christ, and talking about what role the congregation has to play in all of this. And then lastly, in part 30, if the Lord so chooses that we will end on part 30, we'll get into one church per city, not multiple churches. We'll talk about that on part 30, and that will, I believe, end our series. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Wrapping up local church leadership, part 27, the New Testament model is for every church to be led on a daily basis by elders, plural, by a team of elders. We've been talking about the fact that the pastor, our pastor, is a ministry gift that is given as part of the fivefold ministry. We definitely believe in the and appreciate the ministry of pastor. But what we have, what we currently see, what's a part of what most people experience, is not biblical. The local church, instead of being led by a pastor, is to be led by a team of elders, plural. Plurality of leadership. The Jerusalem church, filled with men who had been trained by Jesus himself, had elders. The Apostle Paul made sure that the churches he established were left under the spiritual oversight of elders, or if he didn't leave them in that condition, he sent part of his team back to ensure that elders were appointed so that they did have leadership in the plural. The New Testament model is a plurality of elders in each local church. Next slide. We also said that elders and bishops, as we come down, that Jesus is the head of the church. Underneath Jesus, he's given the gifts that are to impart to the body of Christ certain elements of his ministry and of his anointing. And those are to share that anointing with the body of Christ. So the fivefold ministry are under Jesus in line of authority, spiritual authority. And then in the local church is left, as we've been talking about, in the hands of elders or bishops. We have determined that we are going to refer to this office as elders, mainly because bishops is also used in the scriptures to discuss or to describe this office, but elders is more frequent, so we're going to go with that. But either one is fine. We could call Jason and Michael, we could call them bishops of this church. We've chosen to go with elders because, like I said, it's used more frequently in Scripture, but both would be accurate. Point number one, elders and bishops are two terms that describe the same office. Elder describes the level of spiritual maturity, and bishop describes the work or responsibility, which means to oversee. Point number two that we talked about, elders are responsible for the everyday care of the congregation. It is not one man called pastor, it is a team of men called elders. Elders are appointed by an apostle or member of an apostolic team. Number four, elders work together as a team. They all are with elders, are elders that share together in responsibility. And then point number five, elders know the congregation members and are known of them. The part of are known of them will become more clear next time I preach. That'll be part of that message about the responsibility of the congregation to have relationship with the elders. But those were the five major points that we talked about concerning elders and bishops. And then we summarized the ministry of an elder with several bullet points, and I won't elaborate on these. I'll just bring them out again. Elders must desire the office. They must fulfill the character requirements. They must be appointed by an apostle or member of an apostolic team. They feed or shepherd the flock of God. They rule or direct the affairs of the church, all necessary aspects. They oversee the flock and are watchful to protect God's people. An elder is to be diligent to watch or to look upon the flock and to know its condition, spiritual condition. Elders share the burden of work together. They work as a team. Elders take heed to their own actions and example. An elder is a good example on purpose. An elder preaches and teaches both publicly and privately. An elder will safeguard good doctrine. They lay hands as part of the church's presbytery or team of elders or body of elders. They lay hands on people for different reasons. They pray for the sick in response to requests. And that means either to come and pray for people who have come forward in the church service or be willing to go and pray for people in their homes or in a hospital room or wherever it's needed. They exercise hospitality. And finally, the last point we made was they work hard at their duties, serving God and serving man. We are now entering in part 28. This is going to be a short message today, but I felt like it was necessary to continue to put weight on certain things that perhaps I didn't make weighty enough, or I just need to reemphasize, and also come at it, like I said, from a different direction of what doesn't belong. So next slide. Church leadership, local church leadership. What doesn't belong? It's important to determine this. Now, children, I'm going to need your help. I got some slides here. I want you to help. Would you raise your hand? Don't shout out, but raise your hand when you think you know the answer. Okay? So, slide number one. We're going to play What Doesn't Belong. No. I don't even know the song. In the category of food, do you want to sing it? In the category of food, you have three pictures here. Who knows what doesn't belong as food? Daisy or Hazel, what are you? Who is she? That's Daisy. Thank you, Daisy, and you are absolutely correct. For those of you who are listening online and you don't know our congregation, we have twins, Daisy and Hazel, and I cannot always tell them apart. So that was Daisy, and Daisy got it right. We have a picture of a cheeseburger and spaghetti, and I probably shouldn't have shown that now, should I? And a telephone, and she rightly picked out that the telephone does not belong in that group. Okay, next slide. This category is toys. Who can tell me what doesn't belong in that group? Mackenzie? The Army Man. That's not a toy soldier. That's a real soldier in real battle conditions with a real tank. So he's not playing games, is he? He's out there and he is watching out for himself and his fellow soldiers and representing our country out there. And he's not a toy. But we have a model airplane, a little toy airplane, a little toy boat, which are both very cute. And those are toys, but the soldier is not. Correct? Good job. Everybody agree with those assessments so far? If you don't, you're wrong. The next one. Friends, the category of friends. Liam? The boy pulling the girl's ponytail. With the mean face, the boy with the mean face, pulling the girl's ponytail. He's not being a good friend, is he? We have a group of three girls here, and they're all enjoying one another, and they're talking, and they're saying, oh, isn't Liam cute? And that's what they're saying. And then we got two boys there. They're high-fiving one another because one of them did something good, or both of them did something good. And they're friends, and they're enjoying one another's company, and there's somebody there not being a friend at all. That is not very nice. So you're right. That one doesn't belong. Okay. Well, remember, we're playing the game, what doesn't belong? Because we have to know, if we want to have friends, we don't want to have that kind, do we, on the end? We don't want, that doesn't belong in our group of friends, does it? And if you're that kind of person, stop being that kind of person. You'll never have friends. Okay, family. The category of family. William? The monkey. No, Liam, that is not Graham down there. That is a monkey. So over here in the first one, we have a dad reading to his daughter. And he's got a goofy looking mustache, but some dads are like that. And then we have a mom who's hugging her boy, and he loves his mom. And then we have a monkey. And no matter how much our brothers and sisters like to climb trees and do monkey things, they're not monkeys. So they don't belong, right? Okay, so what we've proven here is even children can understand what doesn't belong if they understand the category well enough. If we understand what the Bible says about the local church, then we should be able to understand what belongs in church leadership and what doesn't. But unfortunately, many people don't really understand God's Word, and so they don't understand God's will. And so we're taking one more stab at this before we move on and going at this and saying, what doesn't belong? Next slide. Okay, what doesn't belong in local church leadership? Well, as we have established, and this is the hardest sell for anybody out there who hasn't gone through this series, who hasn't studied, who hasn't got revelation knowledge. And it's so simple. All you got to do is read your Bible. But when you have preconceived ideas that something does belong, it's hard in your mind to, you just read around things. But we have established that a pastor, and I'll clarify that in a minute, or priest, or vicar, or padre, or father, those are all terms from whatever church group you're involved in, referring to the same person, doesn't belong if it is the pastor understood as the leader, singular leader of a Christian congregation. We talked about the fact that the dictionary definition, the American English dictionary, would say as a definition of pastor as the leader of a local church or a church congregation. And we know from the Scriptures there is not a the leader except for Jesus. And under Him, we have the line of authority as we showed in a little while. So, what doesn't belong? A single person called pastor or picker of priest or vicar or padre or father or whatever you call him as the leader. You can call him apostle. And if he was in that position as the leader, it is not biblical. Okay, next slide. What else doesn't belong? Associate pastor or pastors. Well, it stands to reason if one doesn't belong, then neither does a herd of them. It doesn't matter how many, if it's wrong, it's wrong. So, and we're talking about associate pastors as those who find their authority under the senior pastor, and they are only fulfilling his vision, his will, his and getting their authority through him. They all come under his authority. And if they ever want to be the man, the pastor somewhere else, then they either get sent out with blessing or they just leave and say, you know, I can do a better job, and they start their own. And this is part of what has created, this whole system has created the nightmare that we have with multiple churches all over a city and everybody doing their own thing. So what doesn't belong is associate pastors. Next, what doesn't belong is bishop. Well, we said that bishops do belong. Bishops are elders. But bishop, as in super pastor, the guy who wears his collar, a clerical collar, and has a title bishop, which nobody knows what that is, but they assume that it's a pastor who's eaten his Wheaties or had a can of spinach. He's a super pastor. He's above a pastor. He's larger than life. He's got a TV program. He's, you know, or perhaps he oversees other pastors because he travels around and he, as a bishop, ranks above the pastors. Well, we know a pastor, a true pastor, is in the fivefold ministry, and that person would, in theory, be have more of God's authority than the elders. So a bishop would not be above a pastor. A bishop is an elder, would not be above a pastor. So what doesn't belong is a person who has the rank or office of a bishop that is man-made, that puts him as some position above the local church leadership. Next slide. What else doesn't belong? Well, a denominational anything. Now, I know that this is going to make a lot of people upset. And I told you before, I am not in the business, I'm not here to try to make people upset unnecessarily. I don't want anybody, and I know we're not talking about people in this congregation, I'm talking about people who we would relate this message to outside, or people we come in contact with. They are committed to their denomination. Their denomination means everything to them. In fact, it's the only thing that some people know and understand about church at all. I invited someone to be with us today, and that person that I invited, I said, you come, bring your family. Afterwards, we're going to have fellowship lunch. And you don't have to bring anything. We always have plenty of food left over. And he said to me, I really appreciate your invitation. He said, I know we need to get into church. He said, so I'm going to start looking, and I'm going to look for a Baptist church to go to. And I said, you're passing up an invitation to come where you know people, and you're going to go try out places where you don't know people. And the reason being is they have a tag called Baptist. And that's all you're looking at. I said, why Baptist? He said, well, that's just what I grew up with. That's just what I knew growing up. I said, well, what is a Baptist? I don't know. And I said, you don't know? No, I don't know. That's what I grew up with. That's the kind of mentality that we're dealing with. And I'm not trying to be unkind to anybody, but a denomination, if you have money in your wallet and you pull it out and you have 20s and 10s and 50s and 100s and 5s and 1s, what are those different categories called? Denomination. All it's saying is we're different and we belong in a different category. We belong in a different drawer, in the money drawer. We get stacked together differently in the wallet. If you're like me, if you're like Susan, they're all just wadded up and shoved in there. Susan does not believe in denominations. Susan is very scriptural when you come to think of it. But I am very denominational. My wallet, most times, 20s, 10s, 5s, 1s. Denominational in the church does not belong. I remember going, we were on vacation. I can't remember if Brian was with us at the time, but we were going somewhere. We were in Louisiana or Mississippi. I think it was Louisiana on a Sunday morning. And so we decided to go to church and visit another church so that we'd be a part of fellowship on a Sunday morning. And we looked in the phone book, or my mom and dad did, and found Church of the Nazarene. That's what we were a part of at that time. Started out as Free Methodist, and then when I was a teenager, we moved to Church of the Nazarene. Well, anyway, we were on a trip, and we stopped off at the Church of the Nazarene, and they were having a time of testimony. And I remember this woman stood up, and she said, I praise God for the Church of the Nazarene. I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for the Church of the Nazarene. And she just went on and on and on. I thought, man, I never knew. I'm a part of something great. There's people over here in Louisiana praising God for something that I'm a part of. And I thought, I never knew it was so special. She wasn't praising God for her local church body, and that would be appropriate. I thank God that I'm associated with you people. I thank God for putting me here with people who love the Lord. I thank God for this local church. No, it was the denomination that she was thanking God for, which may or may not have anything to do with that local church, but she was praising God for the denomination. Whether it be a superintendent who travels around, much as a bishop and other people's, how other people view a bishop having oversight over local churches, could be a denominational superintendent who, when he's not traveling, he's got a home somewhere, so his home church, he's a part of that. And superintendent doesn't belong, that's a made-up, man-made thing. A denominational board, a denominational committee, none of those things belong in God's church the way He wants it to be. Now, does that mean that everybody that's doing that's going to hell? No, absolutely not. Does that mean they're not our brothers and sisters? No, it does not mean that. Does it mean that if we carry on that way, we can't be effective the way God wants us to be? Absolutely. And that's what we're trying to establish here. How can we be the most effective? Does that work in measure? Of course it works in measure. Will it accomplish God's ultimate goal? No, it won't. Anything that keeps us separated, anything that keeps us, I'm here and you're over there and we're not the same. We don't belong together. We belong in different drawers. Anything that's like that is not, does not belong in the local church. Okay, next. What else doesn't belong? Missionary. And modern understanding of missionary, it is a special class of Christian, one of the few people to answer the call to go somewhere else. A missionary is somebody special. It's above the rank and file. Whereas it should be, anybody who does go somewhere else, and anybody who is moved of God to go to another land, to another part of this country, to another tribe, wherever God sends them, they go with the support and complete. They're a part of the church body that they go out to, but they're establishing something. They're advancing the kingdom. It should be a Christian. I'm not a missionary, I'm a Christian. A disciple of Jesus, just like anybody else. Called to serve right where I am. Wherever right here is, I'm called to serve here. This is my place. This is my Jerusalem. This is my home, and these are my people. I remember reading a book a long time ago that really grabbed me with this point. This man was talking about a friend of his that had been called of God to go to somewhere in East Asia. I can't remember the place. And he was serving there and had been there for a number of years. And another, he left from America to go there. And another American bumped into him somewhere and said, "Oh," he said, it's great to meet you here. He said, "I'm not great with the language. It's good to talk with you in English. Where are you from?" And he said, "Down the street." And he said, "No, I mean, where are you from? Where are you from? Where'd you come from?" He said, "Well, I've lived there for quite a while." He said, "I just walked down here." He said, no, you're not getting it. Where in the United States did you come from?" "Oh." And he said, "Oh, I came from Topeka, Kansas," or wherever. And he said, "But I don't think of that. I don't think as I left home to come here, now I'm doing my duty here in order that one day I might go back home." He said, "This is my home. Where am I from? I'm from here. Who am I called to? I'm called to this people." And wherever we are, wherever God has us, there is no... If you look, and this was so funny but yet heartbreaking, I Googled missionary. Try this sometime. And there were Christian organizations that had verses about missionaries. And every single verse in there concerning missionaries and what missionaries do is a verse that you and I would say belongs to us as a Christian. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Missionary verse. Missionaries do that. No, we know we are to do that. Everything about preaching the gospel or doing anything, it was under this category of 15 verses about missionaries. Brothers and sisters, we need to stop having this class system where missionaries are the special class of Christian that actually go and do what Jesus called us to do, called them to do, called all of us to do, and the rest of us are just church members. And we, if we're generous enough, will support the missionaries as they go do what God's called them to do. No, He's called us all to do that. Remember when we were going through the first part of this series, when He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel? The imperative in that was preach. Go was a word which means as you are going. So all of us, as we are going into all the world, into every part of the world that we go into, that means every part of the world which is not our home, into all the world, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a call to every Christian, not special class of Christian called missionaries. Does that make sense? Okay, next slide. What doesn't belong in a local church? Well, a deacon board. Now, does that mean we don't have deacons and deacons don't meet together? No, it doesn't mean that. What doesn't belong is a deacon board, which is looked at like some people view a deacon board. And this is a group of elected people, usually elected by the body, who have every year, every 2 years, every 5 years, a meeting. A lot of times on a Sunday night, they'll excuse the people who are not part of the church body and say, we're going to have a church body meeting. If you're not a regular member, we love you, but this isn't for you. And then they'll have a meeting and they'll say, we're going to vote on deacons for this coming year, or for this coming decade, or whatever. So deacons are voted on by the congregation and who come together and as a group. Now, not all churches are like this, but believe me, there are certain churches that have this form of church government, where the deacon board, as a body, they outrank the pastor. They can dismiss the pastor. They can tell him, take a hike. We'll interview other people. Nowhere in Scriptures do deacons have that authority. It's not given to them by God. This is something that does not belong. A deacon board who has that sort of authority, they outrank the leadership of the church, whether it's the pastor, the elders, or whatever it is, does not belong. Deacons are, as we're not going to be going into in this, deacons belong in the local church. They are a help, they are servants, and they are servant leaders. They lead the effort in serving the church to take care of the physical responsibility, the church building, certain things, aspects of the church that are not spiritual leadership. They are very vital. They're useful. They take pressure off of those who do have spiritual leadership, and they are so, can be such a blessing, but they do not run the church. Okay, next slide. A church board does not belong in the church. What is a church board? Well, usually it's a group of elected officials, and they can be elected by the church body, like the deacons, or they can be appointed by the pastor. They can be appointed or elected by, if there's multiple people in leadership there, anything from true elders to anything from true elders to elders who are appointed just to fulfill the pastor's responsibility or whatever. There's many different ways that the church board can be appointed, but they are appointed, and they're a group of them, and they're responsible as a group to make decisions about almost anything, but especially regarding financial matters. Usually, a church board will be responsible for, do we have the approval to start a new building program, to spend money on the sanctuary? Do we have approval to begin a Christian school because it's going to cost money? And these people think through all these things, and as a group, they are responsible to say yes or no to these things. They can tie the hands of the spiritual leadership. If the spiritual leadership wants to go in a certain direction, but these men, who a lot of times are chosen because of their financial prowess, their business acumen, they are make decisions, and they make those decisions on behalf of the church. Church board does not belong in a New Testament church the way Jesus is building and the way the Bible shows that it should be. Next slide. We only got a couple more here. We're almost finished. What doesn't belong in church leadership? Pastor's wife, as a title. The first lady of the church, to be honored, to have her feet rubbed upon the platform, to have her shoes taken off and slippers brought to her. These things happen. Not all over the place. I dare say that many of you have not seen this, but it does happen in certain places. And it is unscriptural. Where it's not happened to that degree, where her shoes aren't taken off and slippers put on and called the first lady of the church, she does wield a lot of soft power. Anybody knows that if you want to get anything done, if you want the puppet to do anything, go to the puppet master. In other words, the pastor, the wife is pulling the strings. There are people who feel like, pastors' wives, who feel like that they have as much responsibility and authority and as a position as their husbands. Back during the charismatic movement, there was a lot of people trying to move into new systems of church government and seeing the whole role of wives being involved and everything. And so they started saying, such and such a church, pastors Neil and Melinda Gates. Pastors Neil and Melinda Gates. Husband and wife, pastor of team. They're always pastors, husband and wife with their name. That was really trying to correct something that was wrong in a different direction. And what was wrong was when pastors' wives just weren't interested, weren't involved, they were doing their own thing. Their husband had his ministry, and they were canning in the back, in the kitchen, putting up peaches. And that's just, kind of how different their ministries were. It is true that anytime a man is in leadership, he should have the full support of his wife. And they should talk over things together. They should discuss things. She should be a part of his life as a wife. But if a man is a elder and he's married, then you have the elder who has the position. Then you have his wife that is fully supporting him. So what does that mean? We just are thankful for the elder and care less about his wife? No, we honor the man and we give honor to the wife who is in fully supporting him in his ministry, his calling. I could not do anything that I do without the support of my wife. I'd be lost without her. I don't know how I would exist. And even beyond that, I am the man that I am today, not only because of God's dealing with me directly and the other men that I've been involved with, but more so than any other human being, my wife's influence in my life. She has been such an encouragement. She won't let me quit if I wanted to quit. She doesn't say, "Oh, praise God, I've been waiting for you to say that. Let's quit." No, any talk of quit, you stop that. She is supportive. If anything has to be done, she's there. How can I help? Have men's meetings. How can I help? You need food. You need it set up. Those of you who've been around for a while, you know what she contributes. A leader's wife not only has her own giftings and things that she adds uniquely, but she is a support to whatever God has called the husband to do. Leaders' wives deserve respect for the work that they do, enabling their husbands to stand in the leadership role that they have been appointed to do. Leaders' wives must also be honored and respected for their unique contribution to the body of Christ. They are not the same in age, I'm talking about leaders' wives with one another. They are not the same in age, gift, knowledge, wisdom, or development of character. Not cookie cutter. Pastor's wife is a pastor's wife, is a pastor's wife, is a pastor's wife. Or elder's wife is an elder's wife, is an elder's wife, is an elder. They're all different. We have to, as a congregation, get to know, appreciate, love, and honor what God is doing in them. How well are they supporting their husbands? What giftings, unique giftings, do they have, do they carry? Are they bringing to the body of Christ? It is getting to know them for who they are and not for a position that does not exist in leadership. Does everybody understand that? I'm not saying in any way to stop respecting the wives of leaders. In any way. I'm saying honor them and honor them greatly, but not because they have a position that is biblical, because it's not. They have a role as a joint heir, a joint team member with their husbands and what the husbands are called to do. A good wife will ensure that he is fully supported, and she will also minister out of what God has given her in her unique role in the body of Christ. That may or may not be appreciated, depending upon how much we understand. If we're just chasing after being close to those who have a position, we'll bypass everybody who doesn't have a position and start clamoring around the ones who does have a position so we can be noticed. No, if we love and appreciate one another, we should get to know one another and honor everybody for their gifts and talents, but especially those who are laying their lives down for the body and helping to support. I hope everybody understands that. Let me just read this verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5. Paul's talking, and he's talking about his apostleship and the fact that he hasn't been received as fully as he should be or as deeply as he should be from the Corinthian church. And he says, "Have we not the power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as the other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord in Cephas?" Paul's not saying my wife and I are joint apostles. Come here, apostles, Paul and Yolinda, last name. He's saying, as an apostle, I have the right to bring my helpmate with me, to come along with me. My emotional support, my ministry support, my physical support, I have the authority to do that, and you are to honor that and to also make sure that we're taken care of together. Don't put me up in the hotel room and say we don't have room for her. I have the authority to let her come along with me. Okay, Lastly, next slide. What doesn't belong? Any person who carries and embodies pride, selfish ambition, desire for personal power, or a desire to escape regular life, to have a job where there's no manual labor, where I don't have to work for a living. I can just do a little studying on Sunday morning, give them 3 points in a prayer, and three poems in a prayer, and then, you know, I have an easy life. All I got to do is make sure that things that need to be done are done. What can be easier? I'll be a church leader. I'll be a pastor of that. What doesn't belong is any person with any of that within them. They carry pride, selfish ambition. They want to draw people away to themselves. They have a desire. Paul warned the Ephesian elders when he called them together, and he told them to be overseers of the flock of God. He went on to say that there will be some that rise up among you who will be like hungry and devourous wolves that will draw men away after themselves. And he said, these men don't put up with anybody who has that heart. And I believe if Paul would have known, Paul knew prophetically that that was going to happen. He did not know who it was. I believe Paul would have dealt with it on the spot if he knew who it was. But he did know prophetically that it would happen at some point in the future. When it does happen, when you do have an understanding that men have that kind of heart, immediately they need to be taken out of leadership. They don't belong. All right, last slide. Okay, we talked about this before, what does belong. We went and approached it from a different angle, what doesn't belong, as we've talked over the many, many weeks. Some of those points were already made, but we put them in a concise format. What doesn't belong? We want to finish up again by what does belong. We know that Jesus is the head of the church. There is no head of the church. Don't call me a head of a church. Don't call Jason the head of a church. Don't call Michael the head of a church. Jesus is the head of His church. He has under-shepherds. He has people working for Him and on His behalf and for His kingdom. And we have the layer of authority where men are in fivefold ministry and they're called of God to impart the grace of God that's given to them and to the body. The elders and bishops or elders have every day ongoing responsibility to watch over the souls of the congregation and to lead and help implement the vision and what God has called the church to do. And then we have the congregation. And that is what we're going to get into next. That's what we're going to be talking about, as all of us have a part to play. I don't care how many we have in leadership, it's still not going to get done until the congregation is doing the work of the ministry. It's all about that. It's all about you. It's all about not where you stand in position. It's about us being a team. It's about the congregation being a team and us seeing our unique role in getting the job done. And it's not all about Sunday morning. We're going to see that next time. We have a gathering together, an assembly responsibility with one another. But we also have a unique place in the body to do what we can do as we go out and go forth and do the work and calling people to Christ and discipling, and on it goes. So that's it for today. Remember, just like the children were so quick to see because they know what doesn't belong, we should have that same. From our understanding now, we should know what does belong and what doesn't belong in a church that Jesus is building. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We bless Your holy name. We thank You for what You're doing. Lord, I thank You that even when things are difficult to understand, Peter said of Paul, he writes things that are hard to understand. We know sometimes things can be hard to understand, but Lord, it's important that we do understand and we do press in and we do take what You show us and be good stewards of this manifold wisdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.